I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stephen Crichton officially signs with the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs announced on the website, 4-year deal starting 2024. This is a really interesting one because I feel like the initial statement from the Penrith Panthers and Stephen kind of like, yeah, we were sitting here saying, I feel like there's a bit more to it, but it almost like put a full stop to it. Like, what else can you say? Like, that's what they're saying. So you've just got to let it go. But then an article came out on Fox Sports like a day or two later, basically saying that they were blindsided by his announcement that he wouldn't be at the club and that they actually had planned to offer him a contract. That was the time they were meeting to offer him a contract and they didn't get a chance to because he told the players. Could you please search that article just to get the exact gist of it? Like when I see articles like that, it actually makes me go, hang on a sec, like it feels like compensating for you didn't offer him a contract. Do you know what I mean? Like if what you said in the statement was the end of it, it should have been the end of it. But the fact that now it's coming out that they had a bigger offer to him and the report I think was like 750 grand, which I'm sorry, I don't believe it. It seems like it definitely seems even more likely that a lot more went on behind the scenes than what is being presented to the public. Gurut?
Yeah, I think there was definitely a lot more that went on. I don't think you let your two-time premiership winning and like big play in every single one of them slip under the radar and miss by a day or so to make an offer on.
It's bizarre, isn't it, that story? Did you read that story?
Is anyone more Penrith than Stephen Crichton? And he just he fell out the door. Poor timing.
If you had a 750K offer, because like this is salary caps we're talking about. Mm. So like a player just declined a 750K offer for the next 3 or 4 years. Your salary cap is almost fucked for the next 3 or 4 years. So how do you fill that gap if you've prepared that money for him? And also, if you have a 750K offer, if he went and told the players he was leaving, wouldn't you be like, mate, like come and speak to us first? Wouldn't you walk into the playing group, goes, guys, apologies, premature, and offer him the deal that you were going to offer him? So you got their money?
Yeah, so basically, there's been a new article come out this morning as well, which has kind of refuted it. So obviously, yeah, it was the deal in May that was offered around 700K.
I don't believe that.
And then now Crichton's manager has come out and quoted and pretty much said, let me get the quote. This came out this morning. Through multiple discussions I had with the club, our camp felt Penrith were reluctant to come back to the negotiation table and decided to spend the money elsewhere. And pretty much has said, it's best if you go test the market. So there's been quite a bit of to and fro the last few days.
So the club's basically saying they offered him a fucking massive deal, 700K, 750K. Yep. Well, I mean, the club hasn't been quoted saying that, but it seems like that. And Crichton's team are basically saying, almost told to look elsewhere, they're not going to pay him.
Yeah, and then basically they said, because it was reportedly a 2-year deal worth 700K, but then after Crichton's manager said, oh, can we look at a 1-year deal because we want to, you know, then they kind of pulled that offer and said, oh, that's what this is implying.
Wow, I think
Critter would have stayed if he was offered a contract.
700K. You think Critter's not staying for 700K? 700K outside Nathan Cleary for the next couple of years?
That's it. Like people say when they're, you know, players take a 150, 200k pay cut to stay at the current club in a good team or whatever. And it's like, I think more often than not, they'd take that extra cash to go chase fullback money or at another club, even if it's at a weaker club. And this is the perfect example. But to stay at centre, outside Cleary, at that club as their like favourites to go for a third straight premiership, you'd take that pay cut
you'd
to stay there.
You'd be crazy to...
So basically, sorry, I've just read something else here. So he was offered the 700, and then apparently, this isn't quoted, but it said, during that time, Abe reportedly put forward a one-year extension for Crichton, which was worth upwards of 800K. And then Abe is quoted saying, "We never received any terms back, but we were met with it may be best for Stephen to go to market, and that offer from May was also no longer on the table."
I look, I don't know what happened, guys. So this is just all assumptions. This is what you listen for, our opinions. I can't see a world where he declines 700, 800K to stay at the Penrith Panthers. Because he's not getting a million at the Doggies.
No.
Honestly, I reckon he's getting 700K at the Doggies. That's what I reckon he'd be getting about. So why would you go to a club that isn't even playing finals footy and not stay at the Panthers, where you're basically guaranteed for the next 5 years to be win a premiership and play finals footy every year?
Be relevant every year, without a doubt.
Every year, closer to Origin, closer to Dally M, like everything. Oh, man. Anyway, I hope this is the end of it, which is bizarre. I thought that statement was quite good, like, boom, full stop. And then these stories start coming out and you're like, well, it just drags it out.
And I think the other side of the coin is that Penrith are obviously well aware of his place within this club, his relationship with Jerome Luai, Brian Toto, all these guys. So I think, I think that they're also just trying to keep everything stable.
Yeah. But like, what I don't get is, I think everyone, we all agree here, if Penrith came in and said, we just can't afford him, like, we would rather pay 200K. Yes, that centre's not going to be as good as him, but unfortunately, we can't afford to pay him 500K. Wouldn't we all understand? Like, I'd be like, yeah, for sure, that's what happens. Like, they just won two premierships.
Makes you wonder why they didn't do that.
Yeah. Like, are they scared because they don't want people thinking that they only offered him 400, 500K? Anyway, let's talk about the good things, though. The good thing is this, is Penrith will be fucking fine, in my opinion. and Crichton will be fine. At the Doggies, signs there, most likely will play fullback. What do you think about the signing?
I can't wait to see him play fullback. I'm super excited about it. I know he's played there a few times in first grade, and it's been good, but let's be honest here, it hasn't been great. But, you know, when I first saw him play a couple of years ago, it was in New South Wales Cup, and that's when he was used to that level, and he was playing fullback consistently, and he was amazing. He was unbelievable. And I just think that if given time in first grade, which I think he will be, I hope he is, given at Canterbury, I think they've turned a corner, haven't they? I hope.
Anyway. Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It's a different coach.
So I think Critter will be given a good opportunity there. And I think he can be very successful there.
Yeah, I agree. Again, the only thing I consider with him is like fitness. Will he be able to handle the K's as such a tall body? And I think he will.
Yeah. I just think with Critter, don't judge him on his first 10 games.
There's
no point.
Like, I mean, we know everyone will, but
yeah. But like, don't wait. Yeah. Wait till the end of the season, if not season two.
Well, and also, like, it's one of those things where you have to ask yourself, what's the alternative? Is anyone at that club really going to come close to even his 7 out of 10 game? I don't think they probably would. And that's no disrespect to any current players, but we're talking about Stephen Crichton here. Like, he's a fucking good player.
And if worst case scenario, him playing fullback goes to shit, you got yourself a strike centre.
Yeah, a genuine match winner. Timmy, what do you reckon about it, mate?
Yeah, a little bit the same, boys. I'm probably not as convinced as others that he'll make the successful transition to fullback. But when I say that, I mean, like, the expectations are so high.
Like a top-tier elite. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
People, I think we're looking at it going, the success that he's had in recent years, he's still so young, he's such an athlete that, you know, he could be top three fullbacks in the NRL. And that's where I'm like, let's just, don't put too much pressure on
I agree with you on that one.
Temper the expectations. Yeah, for sure. And I think we touched on it last week or the week before, but even if he doesn't hit those heights, he'll still be a great fullback on that 750K, whatever it might be. So I think he's a really good signing. I think it's a safe signing. You know, best case scenario, he does become an elite fullback in the game. And for a 4-year deal, they might have an elite fullback on, you know, what, 750K, 8, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Bosch. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I cannot wait. And I agree with you in regards to people that think that he's just going to step into fullback and be on the same tier as, say, Teddy, Pappenhausen when he's back, Latrell when he's on, you know, Tommy, all those boys, Dylan Edwards when he was playing last year. I think that, like, you hope for that. You hope for that. But to expect it, I don't think we should expect that. But what I will say, and it's a question that, you know, all Doggies fans have to ask themselves and the board there, can they win a premiership with him at fullback? I think he's good enough. Even if he doesn't really reach the tier of, you know, tier one fullback, I still think he's good enough to win a premiership. Now, I'm not saying that the Bulldogs are going to win a premiership, but when you look at teams and you go, okay, 7-6, you know, you've got Reid Marnie at 9. Can he win a premiership? He was in the grand final last year, so I think he could. Matty Burton, I think we all agree, he's good enough. Like, he's a higher quality enough player to win a premiership because he already has. Then you've got Kyle Flanagan. I think right now the jury is out as to whether he has this quality. What we do know is he can get a team to a top four finish. But again, that's the biggest question I have as to, is that a premiership? Maybe he'll go on to prove that he can. And then you've got Critter, who's won multiple premierships, granted, in centre and wing, I think. So granted in a different position, but I still think he offers enough quality where it isn't going to be his talent that stops them from winning a premiership. What do you think, boys?
Oh, I agree. Oh, I think the Canterbury are building a very nice squad at the moment. And yes, question mark is over Kyle Flanagan, but as I've said a number of times, if you're going to have a superstar at 9, 6 and 1, you've got to give somewhere. Look at their forward pack as well. It's absolutely stacked. Like, I also think the other thing with Stephen Crichton, I think we forget, because he's achieved so much, he's had so many big moments. He's 22.
I know, it's crazy.
He's played 70 first grade games. As you said, he won a grand final at left centre, then he got moved to the right side, came up with some of the biggest plays of all time. Like, he hasn't even had an opportunity to get used to, not only a position, an edge. So, yeah. I think that, you know, there's a good chance that Stephen Crichton's 5 years away from his best, and he's achieved more in 76 games than what 95% of players have ever achieved.
Yeah. And again, to your point and to Timmy's point as well, in those big games, he has had impact. Now, so you could sit there and you could look at stats and you could look at, you know, did he make 200 metres? Did he make 100, 10 tackle breaks or whatever? But a lot of people, when you're looking at recruitment, it's like, do they win matches? You know, you could go and look at Cameron Smith's stats each game and you would go 40-odd tackles, no try assists, you know, all that kind of stuff. It wouldn't look the best. But then you go to the stat that matters. Do they win footy games? Yeah, Cameron Smith wins a lot of footy games. James Tedesco wins a lot of footy games. Now, you could make the argument that Nathan Cleary's the reason for it, but I think there's clear evidence that in big moments, he can win you a footy game. That is completely a fact.
And I'm sure that when you spoke to him, it's the same. Like, when I had Nathan Cleary on my podcast, you speak about all the players and the teams, and it was very... not generic sort of answers, but just talking, you know, a lot like they are normal footballers. You talk about this guy, Nath just sits there and goes, mate, freak. He's a fucking genetic freak.
Yeah, freak.
I think, and obviously this is a subjective, but I think if you look just at the 2021 grand final when Burton was playing as well, if you just look at the Panthers team, not Souths, I think Cleary was the best player on the field. And I think if you had to give a 3-2-1, you give 2 points and 1 point to Burton and kick out. And Crichton was the one that won him the game with an intercept. And now the Bulldogs have all those three players. So you're right, they've not only just signed premiership winners, they've signed people who really step up in those games.
Yeah, win matches, win big games. So look, really exciting for the Dogs. I could be totally wrong and you can all put shit on me. The Bulldogs have turned a corner. They're not the Wooden Spoons establishment. And it has a lot to do with... It actually goes further back than Phil Gould. It goes back to the Laundy Group. Laundy Group comes on board. So they're a huge, got 1,000 pubs or whatever, really successful business.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
They are really passionate about the club. They go out and obviously get Phil Gould to the club. And so when you look at all the best clubs, they usually have a really strong backing that you don't really hear about. Obviously, you've got the Roosters, Politis, the Broncos used to have the Thoroughbreds. I'm not sure if they still do it. The Melbourne Storm have got Matthew Tripp, I think his name is, who is like successful beyond, you know. Yeah. All these people, because they're successful in business, so successful in business, they understand what it takes for an organisation to be successful. Now, it doesn't always transfer one-to-one, but when you get these outliers that know how to win and put the right people in place, because that's what it's about hiring the right people in the right spots. Does this all happen if the Laundy Group doesn't chase Phil Gould?
I don't think so. They're still going around in circles, I think.
Whereas Laundy Group made that decision, got him in.
Yep.
And so I believe the Bulldogs have turned a corner. Will they play finals footy? Maybe not this year, but I don't think we're looking at perennial wooden spoon or around that area. What do you reckon, Guru?
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's going to be one of those years. Like, I think Canterbury are going to be huge improvers, but at the end of the season, I think you could look at the ladder and they might move up one or two spots, which people might think, you know, I wouldn't call it a fail, but isn't a huge success. But I just like, I genuinely, and I know we probably say it every year, but I think this is going to be the closest competition we have seen in so long. Like, I can't pick any of those top eight teams that I think drop out, but I can pick about three teams from the bottom eight that I think should come in. But there's not room for all of them.
Well, there's only one team that really separates from everyone, most of the other pack, and it's Penrith, in my opinion, right now. Like, as in, then I've just got everyone from like second to maybe 10th or whatever, they can beat each other on their day. In like, whereas I feel like other seasons, you basically had your top four and it was like everyone else is not even.
But like, it's crazy. Like, you look at the ladder last year, and if you take those teams that finished at the bottom of the top eight and go, they were the fringe top eight sides. It's Melbourne, it's Roosters, it's South Sydney. Whoa. Like, you've got all these bottom eight teams that have improved, but then the next four teams on top of them, I would argue, underachieved last year as far as the ladder goes. And then you've got Cowboys, Sharks, you know, I can't wait for this season.
And then you've got like Broncos, massive fall off at the end of the year. So if they have a whole season,
Manly, massive fall off.
Yeah, like, Manly as well. Timmy.
Like, they started like a busted arsehole to start the season.
Yeah,
they,
yep. Do you think Doggies have turned a corner?
Big time, yeah. And I think even just looking at them, for about the last 10 years, just about, not quite 10 years, they made a grand final in 2014. Let's say the last 5 or 6 years, going into the season, like, well, there's almost a no chance they're playing finals football. Now, I know they finished around that 9th to 12th mark a few times, but even they seem like overachieving seasons. This year, it's like, well, I think they definitely can play finals football.
Yep.
Do I think they will? Again, I've probably got them 9th or 10th at this stage, but they can. So for Doggies fans going into the season thinking we can compete with the best in the competition and play finals football, that's a big thing for them.
Just shout out to Canterbury too. If you go to their website, I'm not sure how often they're releasing these episodes, but they released one the other day called The Kennel, Episode 1. Went through their pre-season camp and everything. One of the better bits of rugby league content I've seen in quite some time. So well worth going to have a look at. There's a number of guys. They've obviously got all these stars at Canterbury, but there's a number of guys that really stood out in this video being some of the main voices in this camp and within this squad. Sort of guys that I don't even have them in their best 17 at the moment. So a really, really interesting bit of content there for the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Does David Staggs host it?
You love Stags, don't
you? If it is, it'll probably just be like an hour of just sound effects of him just whacking blokes, just chopping them. I love David Staggs.
The great Staggy.
You played with him, didn't you?
Yeah, Broncos.
Can you get an intro or something? I've never met the bloke.
Mate, he's one of the nicest blokes. Yeah, he's so
actually,
nice.
I'd have a restraining order within about 2 days.
He's a well-educated young gentleman. Yep, so great news for the Doggies. Great signing. And they're looking good, man. It's going to be interesting next 2 to 3 years.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.